الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، continuing with the تفسير of سورة البقرة، in particular verse 229. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الطلاق مرتان فإمساكم بمعروف أو تسريح بإحسان ولا يحل لكم أن تأخذوا مما آتيتموهن شيئا إلا أن يخافا ألا يقيما حدود الله فإن خفتم ألا يقيما حدود الله فلا جناح عليهما فيما افتدت به تلك حدود الله فلا تعتدوها ومن يتعد حدود الله فأولئك هم الظالمون.
The divorce is twice after that It is not lawful for you, men, to take part from your wives any of your money, whether money given by the husband to his wife at the time of marriage, which you have given them. Except when both parties are clear that they would be unable to keep the limits ordained by the law. To leave this matter on a favorable basis. And if you fear that they would not be able to keep the limits ordained by the law, then there is no sin on either of them. If she gives back the mahar to part with for her al-Qur'an, divorce.
That's it?
These are the limits ordained by Allah, so do not transgress them, and whatever transgress the limits ordained by Allah, then such are the zalimun, wrongdoers.
يقول الشيخ رحمة الله عليه: كان الطلاق في الجاهلية واستمر أول الإسلام يطلق الرجل زوجته بلا نهاية، فكان إذا أراد مضارتها طلقها، فإذا شارفت انقضاء عدتها رجعها ثم طلقها وصنع بها مثل ذلك أبدا، فيحصل عليها من الضرر ما الله به عليم. The Sheikh said divorce in the early phase of Islam used to be where a man would divorce his wife forever, permanently, in a sense that he doesn't really divorce her. That is, if he wanted to harm her, if he wanted to cause harm, he would divorce her. And once her waiting period is about to expire, he will bring her back to his authority, I mean him being her husband again. And then he will divorce her again. And then she would reach the end of her iddah, then he will bring her back. But you know, he would do this for forever. With non-stop. There was no limit. You know, 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 10 times, 20 times. It's like he's playing games with this woman. Or his wife, to be more particular. And much harm had resulted from that, of which only Allah knows the extent of this particular harm. So Allah Azza wa Jalla informed, فَأَقْبَرَ تَعَالَى أَنَّ الطَّلَاقَ أَيِّ الَّذِي تَحْصُلُ بِهِ الرَّجْعَ مَرَّتَانِ لِيَتَمَكَّنِ الزَّوْجُ إِنْ لَمْ يُرِدِ الْمُضَارَّ مِنْ ارْتِجَاعِهَا وَيُرَاجِعَ رَأْيَهُ فِي هَذِهِ الْمُدَّةِ. So Allah Azza wa Jalla informed us that divorce is actually the one where you may bring her back to you is only twice. This is a time given for the man for him to change his mind and bring her back, alaykum salam, and to reconsider his choices. Do I really want her to be divorced? Do I really want to terminate my relationship with this woman? Or, alaykum salam, am I able to pardon her and bring her back as my wife? If so, then he has two chances to bring her back to his care and his authority. If he doesn't, or if he chooses that he doesn't want her to be his wife anymore, simply he waits for the divorce, for the waiting period to be over, and she's divorced. Not like in Jahiliyyah, you know, he will bring her back and divorce her, bring her back and divorce her, so on and so forth. وَأَمَّا مَا فَوْضَهَا فَلَيْسَ مَحَلًّا لِذَلِكَ. Anything beyond the 2 times is not permissible. لِأَنَّ مَنْ زَادَ عَلَى اثْنَتَيْنِ فَإِمَّا مُتَجَرِّعٌ عَلَى الْمُحَرَّمِ أَوْ لَيْسَ لَهُ رَغْبَةٌ بِإِمْسَاكِهَا بَلْ قَصْدُهُ الْمُضَارَّ. Because whoever goes beyond the twice ordained by Allah, he's either someone who is careless and does not mind, you know, indulging in impermissible things, or he's someone who has the intent to cause harm to this particular lady. فَلِهَذَا أَمَرَ تَعَالَى الزَّوْجَ أَن يُمْسِكَ زَوْجَتَهُ بِمَعْرُوفٍ. Consequently, Allah commanded the husband to keep his wife in goodness. Ma'roof, that which is good, not harmful. أي عشرة حسنة ويجري مجرى أمثاله مع زوجاتهم. Meaning a good companionship and whatever is applicable to others in their case. Like a man of his status as we dealt before with a woman of her status. وهذا هو الأرجح وإلا يسرحها ويفارقها. Or he shall let her go and depart from her. بإحسان. Also he should do so in goodness. ومن الإحسان أن لا يأخذ على فراقه لها شيئا من مالها. Part of being good to the wife upon divorcing her is that you do not try to take back any of the money, any of the wealth that you had given her initially. Okay? So you gave her, for example, a 10,000 riyal mahar, and you decide to divorce her. You are not allowed to say, give me my money back. You know? I don't think it's going to work. Give me my 10,000. Give me 11,000. Some people say, turn it to riba. Give me 11,000 for the harm you caused me during our marriage. Right? This person is, you know, really tripping. So, you know, this is not permissible for him to do so. Because it is oppression. لأنه ظلم وأخذ للمال بغير مقابلة بشيء. Because it's oppression is taking money in return for nothing. It doesn't deserve it. فلهذا قال ولا يحل لكم أن تأخذوا مما آتيتموهن شيئا إلا أن يخافا أن لا يقيما حدود الله. That's why Allah said it's not permissible then for you to take anything that you had given them, except if you're afraid that they will not be able to establish or stay within the limitations of Allah. The Shaykh said, وهي المخالعة. Have you heard this before? خلعة. خلعة. طيب. خلعة is a form of divorce wherein a woman is the one who initiates it. Now we know in Islam, who has the control of divorce? The man or the woman?
Amen.
The men. The men are the ones who control divorce, not the woman. However, and if a woman asks for divorce for no apparent reason, then she is in trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not lawful for her to ask for divorce for no purpose, no real reason. However, if a woman does have a problem with the husband because of some issue that he has, either his appearance, she's not attracted to him, right? And we have examples from the female companions where she went to Prophet ﷺ and told him that the man is alright, I just can't stand looking at him. Well, she can. So then he divorced her. Why? How is she going to give him his right if she can't stand him? You follow me? If he looks so ugly to her, how is she going to give him his rights? She can't. This relationship will not succeed. Or his character. He may have a fault in his character wherein he winds up oppressing her or something along these lines that she can't handle either. Or it could be that he doesn't have this religious commitment which she needs. Yani the man is not observing Allah's rights and limitations, and he's living a life of a wild man, and she wants to live the life of an obedient woman. They're incompatible in this particular case. So if the situation is such, a woman may seek khul'a. Khul'a is like removing something, right? To take something off. So يخلع حذاءه. يخلع سنه. You take out your tooth or your shoes. So she wants خلع, meaning she wants to be parted from this particular individual. وخافت أن لا تطيع الله فيه فإن خفتم أن لا يقيم حدود الله فلا جناح عليهما فيما افتدت به. Here he has the right to say, give me my money back. Now that she's asking for divorce, she doesn't want him anymore. Now, he's not the one initiating divorce. Now he has the right to say, give me the money back. You don't want me? No problem. Give me my money. Wassalamu alaikum. But in the beginning, if he's the one loving her, he can't tell her, give me the money back. You see the point now? Beautiful. لأنه عوض لتحصيل مقصودها من الفرقة. Because giving her money back is a compensation for him, for her getting what she wants, which is departing from him. وفي هذا مشروعية الخلع إذا وجدت هذه الحكمة. And in this ayah, there's the evidence for the legality of خلع if such wisdom is available. تلك أي ما تقدم من الأحكام الشرعية حدود الله. That which was aforementioned among the information are from the limitations of Allah. أي أحكامه التي شرعها لكم وأمر بالوقوف معها. Meaning the rules and the laws which he had legislated for you and commanded you to remain within their boundaries. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And whosoever transgresses the limitations and the boundaries of Allah, then really it is those who are the wrongdoers, the oppressors, the sinners, and so forth. وَأَيِّ ظُلْمٍ أَعْظَمْ مِنْ مَنْ اِقْتَحَمَ الْحَلَالِ وَتَعَدَّ مِنْهُ إِلَى الْحَرَامِ فَلَمْ يَسِعْهُ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ. الله أكبر. The Sheikh said, what is greater oppression than someone who abandoned that which is lawful and he transgressed into that which is forbidden and he was not satisfied with what Allah had made lawful? The halal was insufficient for him, so it was inevitable for him to dwell into that which is forbidden, so he may attain a desire or something of this nature. وَالظُّلْمُ ثَلَاثَةُ أَقْسَامٍ. Oppression is of three kinds. It's very important. ظُلْمُ الْعَبْدِ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَظُلْمُ الْعَبْدِ الْأَكْبَرِ الَّذِي هُوَ الشِّرْكِ وَظُلْمُ الْعَبْدِ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْخَلْقِ. Very important. If you are among those who take notes, this is the time for you to be taking notes. Oppression is of three kinds. The oppression which takes place between the servant and his Lord, right? Which is basically oppressing oneself by disobeying Allah. Oppressing oneself by disobeying Allah. Because this is a zulm to your body, which may be punished in the fire. This is a zulm for your Islamic religious commitment, because that would be weakened with your negligence and so forth. The second kind of oppression is the most major kind of oppression, which is shirk, associating or ascribing partners to Allah, worshipping others along with Allah, claiming that there are other gods with Allah, and the list goes on. And the last is the oppression that takes place between the slave and the creation of Allah. Between the slave and the creation of Allah. Between men, human beings amongst each other, perhaps animals can be involved. The oppression between a man and the creation. So then there's oppression between a person and his Lord. First kind, second kind is the oppression. The most major oppression is by committing shirk. And the last one is the oppression which takes place among the people themselves.
Between men and creation.
Right. Now, check out this breakdown here. Because this is the most relevant to this discussion. فَالشِّرْكُ لَا يَغْفِرُهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالتَّوْبَةِ. Shirk, Allah will never forgive unless you repent. يعني if you die in the state of shirk, that will never go under the area of forgiveness. Never qualified to be forgiven. If someone dies as a mushrik, Mother Teresa, this wicked woman whom people gave lofty titles for being A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and she's nothing but a Z with a broken leg. This woman who didn't know Allah, nor his messenger, an idolater, a human worshipper, a wicked woman in the ultimate sense of the word, except that for the purpose of showing off, she was doing some charitable work, which any person can do. Buddha, that they claim as a god or anyone can do some charitable work. Does that make them righteous? No. So Mother Teresa, you know, is one of these women. It's very ironic. Of course, you say this to a Christian or even an ex-Christian, right? Even if he's a Muslim now, there's still something in the heart like, whoa, hey, he's speaking about Mother Teresa. Brother, Mother Teresa ain't nothing. She's nothing. Go to Google and put, what was it, Times Magazine? Put Mother Teresa Times Magazine or Newsweek. One of these two magazines. They put out some letters that Mother Teresa had written before she died. In these letters, you get to know the real Mother Teresa, which we Muslims know already. She was a disbeliever in God. Her own statement, she says, I have lost faith. I don't know why this is happening to me. Expressions of blasphemy according to the Christian church, not Abu Mus'ab and the Muslims. To us, she is a blasphemous lady, whether she was saying Christian concepts or denying them. But according to Christianity, Mother Teresa had disbelieved in the church and disbelieved in God altogether. Don't believe me? Read an article written about Mother Teresa in Times Magazine, one of the most popular magazines in read in the world, to see the truth of Mother Teresa. Now, we knew this beforehand. She can't be sound inside when she doesn't believe in Allah. When did the secrets come out? After she died. And they found the letters which she had written. To us, we already can judge from the get-go. For other people, it is required because they don't see the reality. They assume goodness about her. So the greatest dhulm is shirk. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by individuals who seem to be doing nice things for the people. Shirk is the greatest oppression. Greater than fornication, greater than robbery, greater than killing human beings. These are of lesser degree in terms of gravity than worshipping someone other than the one who deserves to be worshipped. Then destroying the objective of life. Then going against the purpose of life. Then denying the one who deserves everything that he has given you, and you don't give it back to him, rather you give it to others among his creation. Crazy, but this is the truth. And that Allah will never forgive. So unless Mother Teresa embraced Islam before she died, which we, you know, don't have any knowledge of, she will never be forgiven. And in the hellfire, in the life to come, she will be burning in hell along with the other wicked people because she disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and she worshipped Jesus and the saints and the rest of the clan. Anyways, now, and the last one, which is the one that we all need to be careful of, is the oppression that happens among the servants' rights that Allah will not leave any part unattended of that. Yani, between you and Allah, you do istighfar, you seek Allah's forgiveness, you repent to Allah, you do good deeds, Allah will erase them. The wrongdoing that you do against yourself, Allah is all forgiving, most merciful, but He will pardon you. Even if you've done it, well, today in the morning we were reading the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith, but see, O son of Adam, if you came to me with sins, reaching all the way to the skies, okay, can you imagine how many sins these are? But you come to me and then you call on me and you seek my forgiveness, I shall forgive you and I don't care. If you came to me with the earth full of sins, and you came to me while associating nothing in worship with me, I will bring an equal amount of forgiveness. Between you and Allah, alhamdulillah. As long as you're on the deen, you repent to Allah when you do wrong, you don't indulge in disobedience, you don't feel happy that you disobeyed Allah, as long as you feel guilty, you stop, you review yourself, what have I done, and you try to become a good Muslim, you are on good terms. Even if you sin, you will sin inevitably. What is it the problem? The problem is when we don't care. When we enjoy disobedience and we don't feel any remorse or regretfulness. But the oppression between you and the brother, that on the day of judgment he will get his right back. That does not go under forgiveness. Between you and Allah, Allah will forgive. You do shirk and you repent to Allah, Allah will forgive. But I go and I steal 10 riyals from Abdul Aziz, and in this time I don't give him back his money, this will never be forgiven. On the day of judgment, he will have to get his right back from me. He will have to get his right back from me. He saw. And that includes backbiting, that includes gossiping, that includes accusing Muslims of things they are innocent from, that includes anything that will harm another Muslim, then this is considered oppression to the other Muslim, and that does not fall under forgiveness.
What about if somebody took something from somebody and he passed away? What's the term of returning?
Yeah, usually the scholars say if this is the case, if you got some money from someone and you were unable to find them, then you give the same amount in charity with the intention that this is for that. Inshallah. Maji? Fine. So Allah musta'an. والظلم ايوه والظلم الذي بين العبد وربه فيما دون الشرك تحت المشيئه والحكمه. So and the oppression that is between the servant of Allah, as long as it is below or lesser than shirk, then this falls under Allah's will and Allah's wisdom. If Allah wills, He will forgive you. If Allah wills, He will bring you to account. It, according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees fit concerning this individual. Someone may come to Allah with mountains of sins, and Allah will decide on the day of judgment to forgive all of these sins and permit him to paradise. This is what Allah's wisdom entails. And others may come with equal amount of sins, but Allah will decree that they will be punished for them. Allah knows who deserves what. We don't know, and we cannot, you know, give ourselves any particular titles. Five. Now verses 230 and 231. فإن طلقها فلا تحل له من بعد حتى تنكح زوجا غيره فإن طلقها فلا جناح عليهما أن يتراجعا إن ظنا أن يقيما حدود الله وتلك حدود الله يبينها لقوم يعلمون. I don't know if we will have time to read both. Let's do this one first. Anyone, please give Abdul Aziz a break. Verse 230 in English, please. 230. Loudly, please.
230? No.
Anyone else? Time is short.
And if he has divorced her the third time, then she is not lawful to him thereafter. After she has married another husband. Then, if that husband divorces her, it is no sin, and both of them, that they reunite, provided they feel that they can keep the limits ordained by Allah. These are the limits of Allah, which He makes plain for the people who have nothing.
Barakallahu feek. يقول الشيخ يقول تعالى فإن طلقها أي الطلقة الثالثة فلا تحل له من بعد حتى تنكح زوجا غيره. If he divorces her, that is the third time, because we said first two times he may bring her back. Once a third divorce takes place, then she is no longer lawful for him until she marries another person. Remember, we dealt with this last week. Right. أي نكاحا صحيحا ويطأها. Meaning it must be a valid marriage, not an arranged marriage, as we said. Someone will say to his friend, listen man, my wife is third, you know, divorced for the third time, marry her, divorce her so I can marry her again. That doesn't work. This is arranged. It must be what? Normal. Real. Not fake, not made up, not prearranged. It should be a real situation where she marries another man, it doesn't work out, he divorces her for whatever reason, and then they decide to reunite. Then and only then it is permissible. And that man must have a sexual relation with her. It is not enough to marry her through via contract without consummating the marriage. So the consummation of the marriage is a requirement and a condition. لأن النكاح الشرعي لا يكون إلا صحيح لا يكون إلا صحيحا ويدخل فيه العقد والوطن. Because a real legal marriage is not correct unless there's a contract involved and there's sexual intercourse. وهذا بالاتفاق. In this case, that is, because a man may marry a woman and not have relations with her. We've dealt with this before. ويتعين أن يكون نكاح الثاني نكاح رغبة. And it is required that the second marriage is a marriage which is desired. Yani the woman wants to marry this other man and the other man wants to marry her. It has nothing to do with that arrangement that I have dealt with before. فَإِنْ قَصَلَ بِهِ تَحْلِيلِهَا لِلْأَوَّلِ فَلَيْسَ بِنِكَاحٍ وَلَا يَفِيدُ التَّحْلِيلِ. If the man intends that I'm only marrying this woman so I may make her lawful again for her first husband, it is not permissible for him and it does not count. The whole transaction is invalid. يعني it's zina. Basically, him having a relation with her is zina. And her going back to her husband is again zina. Zina is fornication or adultery. Alaykum
salam.
وَلَا يَفِيدُ وَبُّ السَّيِّدِ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِزَوْجِ. And if she's a slave woman, her master having relations with her does not suffice because he's not considered a husband. فَإِنْ تَزَوَجَهَا الثَّانِي رَغِبًا وَوَضَاهَا ثُمَّ فَرَقَهَا وَانْقَبَتْ عِدَّتَهَا فَلَا جُنَحَ عَلَيْهِمَا. So if a second man marries her, and he has desire in marrying her, and he has a sexual relation with her, then he divorces her, and her waiting period is over, then there's no harm on them to return to one another. أي على الزوج الأول والزوجة. The first husband and the wife. أي يتراجع أي يجددا عقدا جديدا بينهما لإضافته التراجع إليهما. Meaning they have to establish a new contract between them. فدل على اعتبار التراضي. So they must be both satisfied and pleased. ولكن يشترط في التراجع أن يظنا أن يقيما حدود الله. However, there's a condition that they must presume or assume that they will be able to fulfill Allah's limitations. Yani, when they divorce the first time, it's because of some transgression of some kind, right? Now they have left each other, they want to return. If they believe that they have this assumption or this, you know, the feeling that they may go back to their old ways and not be able to establish Allah's rights by Him giving her her rights and her giving Him His rights, then they shouldn't get back to each other. But if they believe they will be able to renew their relationship on new terms without the previous oppression that took place between them, then it is fine for them to do so. بأن يقوم كل منهما بحق صاحبه. That each one of them will establish the companions or the spouse's rights. وذلك إذا ندما على عشرتهما السابقة الموجبة للفراق. And this only happens if they are truly regretful over their previous divorce and what led them to divorce to begin with. وعزما أن يبدلاها بعشرة حسنة. And they have the determination that they will fix up this old marriage with a new one wherein they will treat each other kindly and give each other's rights. فَهَذَا لَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا فِي التَّرَاجُعِ. Then there's no harm, no sin upon them if they wish to return to each other. And you do know this doesn't happen very often. I mean, this is among the rare cases that someone will divorce his wife and she will marry another one who will divorce her and he will wind up going back to her. Not a very common occurrence. However, it is there and legislated because in case it happens, Islam has an answer for everything. SubhanAllah. And even in rare cases, you know, the things that rarely happen, still it has been broken down in detail. So the Ummah will know how to act in this particular case. ومفهوم الآية الكريمة أنهما إن لم يظن أن يقيم حدود الله بأن غلب على ظنهما أن الحالة السابقة باقية والعشرة السيئة غير زائلة أن عليهما في ذلك جناحا. So the understanding of the ayah is that if they believe, that they really believe they'll be able to establish the rights of Allah and His limitations, wherein they believe or it is preponderant for them that the second marriage will be unlike the first, and that bad companionship between them will be removed, then it's fine. If they believe that they're unable to do so, then they are sinful for them returning to one another. If they know that they haven't started their new relationship on new grounds, if they're starting their second marriage on the same grounds as the first marriage, then they are sinful for that. Because they will go back into the same thing that caused them to divorce the first time. لأن جميع الأمور إن لم يقم فيها أمر الله ويسلك بها طاعته لم لم يحل الإقدام عليها. Because in all matters and affairs, if Allah's right or Allah's command is not established, and if His obedience is not sought, وعليكم السلام, and if His obedience is not sought, then it is not permissible for you to embark upon this thing. Anything you want to do, if you're not observing Allah's commands, if you're not observing Allah's commands, and if you're not doing it in as means of obeying Allah, then it is not permissible for you to embark upon this thing. Whatever it is, you have to leave it alone. وفي هذا دلالة على أنه ينبغي للإنسان إذا أراد أن يدخل في أمر من الأمور خصوصا الولايات الصغار والكبار أن ينظر في نفسه فإن رأى من نفسه قوة على ذلك ووثق بها أقدم وإلا أحجم. In this ayah, there is an evidence that any person, before he engages in some sort of affair, especially guardianship, whether it is main, such as being responsible for a number of people under you, or a minor one, things that are particular to a business or to a spouse, one should look into himself and see, do I have strength? Am I able to do what is expected of me? If so, then he moves forth. If not, hold back. If you know you're unable to handle the business correctly, you're unable to establish Allah's rights and stay away from His limitations, then do not embark, do not engage in this kind of business or in this kind of transaction. So each one should evaluate himself prior to embarking upon any kind of transaction, whether it is minor or major. If you can't do it, Bismillah. If you can't do it, leave it alone. ولما بين تعالى هذه الأحكام العظيمة قال وتلك حدود الله أي شرائعه التي حددها وبينها ووضحها. After Allah had mentioned these great rulings, He said, and these are the limitations of Allah, meaning His legal law or His divine law, which He had legislated and clarified in the ultimate way. يُبَيِّنُهَا لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ. He makes it clear for people who understand. لِأَنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُنْتَفِعُونَ بِهَا النَّافِعُونَ لِغَيْرِهِ. Because the people who understand are the ones who will benefit from it and will cause others to benefit as well. وَفِي هَذَا مِنْ فَضِيلَةِ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَا يَخْفَى. In this ayah, it is straight indicative of the virtue of the people of knowledge. That which you cannot even miss, cannot even, it's not even hidden. It cannot be hidden, the virtue of the people of knowledge. لأن الله تعالى جعل تبينه لحدوده خاصا بهم. Because Allah made the clarification of His limitations through these people who understand. People of knowledge, right? He makes it clear for people who understand. Like Sheikh Abdul Rahman Nasr al-Sa'di. I mean, he's speaking about himself, right? He's speaking about himself without him wanting to speak about himself. But this is applicable to him. If we read these verses, we may not get this understanding. In fact, we will not get this understanding, right? Because it is broad, and there are details that require you to know the principles of Islam, and the narrations which support these verses, and the history and the seerah, the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and other verses in the Quran which may be relevant to this topic. You have to have knowledge of so many things before you're able to grab an ayah and actually be able to deduce something from it in a way that is, you know, becoming and in a good way. So we don't have these qualifications. Who is making this easy for us to understand Allah's rules and limitations? The ulama, the scholar of tafsir, who had given us some breakdown of what is intended, and with that we're able to understand. So subhanAllah, yani, he's speaking about himself, as I mentioned, without him even probably paying attention. وفيه أن الله تعالى يحب من عباده معرفة حدود ما أنزل على رسوله والتفقه بها. And in this ayah there is an evidence that Allah loves of His servants to know His limitations that He has sent down upon His messenger, the limitations which He has sent down upon His messenger, والتفقه بها, and that they become knowledgeable or they understand it. Allah loves it when we know what are the haram, what is the haram, and what is the halal, and when we have understanding of that. You know, because this is, you know, the deen of Allah. This is the deen of Allah is based on knowledge, and Allah loves to see His servants engaging in learning and teaching and everything related to His deen. ثم قال تعالى, shall we do the ayah after? Yes, we should. طيب, the ayah, وإذا طلقتم النساء فبلغن أجلهن فأمسكوهن بمعروف أو سرحوهن بمعروف ولا تمسكوهن ضرارا لتعتدوا ومن يفعل ذلك فقد ظلم نفسه ولا تتخذوا آيات الله هزوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم وما أنزل عليكم من الكتاب والحكمة يعظكم به واتقوا الله واعلموا أن الله بكل شيء عليم. 231 please.
231? Yes, yes. 231? You have to verse to men and good about to feel the term of the prescribed period. You either take your man upon reasonable basis or set them free on reasonable basis, but do not take their man to hurt them. And whoever does that, then he has wronged himself. And the trait not the verses, those of Allah, as a Jesus. But the members of Allah may also knew some of Islam in which he has sent down to you the some of Quran. Prophet Sunnah and Legal Ways, Islamic jurisprudence, whereby he instructs you and fear Allah and knows that Allah all know everything.
Barakallah fiqh. I can hardly hear you. Surah Al-Baqarah. This is 237, one moment. I just want to get it here.
231.
Ayu. فإن أردتم إيه معلش. Here we go. 231. طيب. So, and when you have divorced women and they have fulfilled the term of their prescribed period, either take them back on reasonable basis or set them free on reasonable basis. But do not take them back to hurt them, and whoever does that, then he has wronged himself. And treat not the verses of Allah as a jest. But remember Allah's favors on you, like Islam, and that which He has sent down to you of the book and al-hikmah, the Prophet Sunnah, whereby He instructs you, and fear Allah and know that Allah is all aware of everything. Wonderful. So the Shaykh says concerning this particular ayah, ثم قال تعالى وإذا طلقتم النساء طلاقا رجعيا بواحدة أو اثنتين. If you divorce a woman, a kind of divorce where you're able to bring her back under your authority, whether it is the first time or the second time, فَبَلَغْنَا أَجَلَهُنْ, and they have reached the waiting period. قَارَبْنَا إِنْقِضَاءَ عِدَّتِهُنْ, they are approaching the end of their waiting period. It's about to expire. فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ سَرِّحُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ, either keep them or let go of them. But either way, you have to do so in a good manner, in goodness, not as means of oppression, on reasonable basis, the way they translated it here. أي إما أن تراجعوهن ونيتكم القيام بحقوقهن, either you intend to bring them back with the intention to fulfill their rights, that you will not oppress them, أو تتركوهن بلا رجعة ولا إضرار, or you will let them go, you will release them without wanting to bring them back nor causing them any harm. ولهذا قال ولا تمسكوهن ضرارا, and do not keep hold of them as means or as means of harming them. أي مضارة بهن لتعتدوا, so you may transgress في فعلكم هذا الحلال الحرام, by transgressing from lawful to that, from that which is lawful to that which is prohibited. فالحلال الإمساك بالمعروف والحرام المضارة. حلال is that you keep her in goodness on reasonable basis, and haram, and what is haram is that you cause her harm. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ, whosoever does so or does that has indeed wronged himself. Whoever keeps his wife as means of harming her has wronged himself, after wronging her of course. وَلَوْ كَانَ الْحَقُّ يَعُودُ لِلْمَخْلُوقِ فَالضَّرَرْ عَائِدٌ إِلَى مَنْ أَرَادَ الضِّرَارِ, and anyways that goes back to the one who intends harm. وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا, do not take Allah's verses in jest, meaning in mockery, with carelessness, with negligence. لَمَّا بَيَّنَ تَعَالَى حُدُودَ وَغَايَةَ التَّبْيِينِ وَكَانَ الْمَقْصُودُ الْعِلْمُ بِهَا وَالْعَمَلُ وَالْوُقُوفُ مَعَهَا وَعَدَمُ مُجَاوَزَتِهَا, لأنه تعالى لم ينزلها عبثا بل أنزلها بالحق والصدق والجد ما عن اتخاذها هزوا. After Allah had explained his limitations in the clearest manner, and the intent behind that was to have knowledge of it, to act upon it, to observe its limitations and not to transgress. And Allah Azza wa Jalla had not sent that down for entertainment or as a play or as joking or without a reason, without a valid reason. Rather, He sent it down in truth. In truth, for a serious matter, He told us not to take His verses in jest. أي لعباً بها, meaning to play with them. وهو التجري عليها وعدم الامتثال واجبها, which is ignoring it and not observing its rights. And مثل استعمال المضرة في الإمساك أو الفراق أو كثرة الطلاق أو جمع الثلاث. Such as a person using this manner of harming his wife by keep bringing her back in order to harm her, or al-firaq, or by separating from her, or divorcing too many times. Always playing with divorce. You divorce, and we dealt with this before. Or even combining all three. والله من رحمته جعل له واحدة بعد واحدة رفقا بها وسعيا في مصلحته. So Allah had made divorce in this fashion, one after the other, as means of mercy to the woman, right? Who was very emotional. She cannot handle a man divorcing her every other day and bringing her back. And also for the man's benefit to be maintained. Because sometimes, as you said, we may make the silliest decisions during times of anger, and we will lose a good wife who was doing very good but had some shortcomings, and then you will never find another woman like her again. So when Allah gives the men some time to reconsider their thoughts or their opinions or their decisions, then it means for them to be able to maintain the benefits which Allah had given them previously. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ, and remember Allah's favors upon you. Or in fact, ni'mah is the singular. Remember Allah's favor upon you. عموماً باللساني وحمداً وثناءاً. How do you show thankfulness to Allah? How do you remember Allah's favors upon you? Generally speaking, with your tongue, by praising Allah and glorifying Him. وبالقلب اعترافاً وإقراراً, in your heart, by acknowledging it and admitting that these are favors from Allah upon you. وبالأركان بصرفها في طاعة الله, and in terms of your limbs, by utilizing them in obedience to Allah. وما أنزل عليكم من الكتاب والحكمة, أي السنة, and what He sent down upon you from the Quran, the Kitab is the Quran, and الحكمة is السنة, as Imam Shafi'i had mentioned رحمه الله. الذين بين لكم بهما طرق الخير, with which He had showed you the Quran and the Sunnah, the paths of goodness. ورغبكم فيها, and He made them, and he encouraged you to follow these paths. وطرق الشر, and He warned you of the roads of evil. وحذركم إياه, وعرفكم نفسه ووقائعه بأوليائه وعده, and He informed you about Himself, and He told you how He dealt with His righteous believing servants and how He dealt with His enemies. The righteous servants were saved, protected, blessed, and the enemies of Allah were destroyed. وعلمكم ما لم تكونوا تعلمون, and He taught you that which you knew not. وقيل المراد بالحكمة أسرار الشريعة, and some said what is intended by حكمة in this verse are the secrets of the legislation, the secrets of the legislation. فالكتاب فيه الحكم, the Quran has the wisdoms, والحكمة فيها بيان حكمة الله في أوامره ونواهيه, and the secrets of that wisdom is explaining the wisdom behind it in terms of what Allah had made lawful and what Allah had made prohibited. وَكِلَ الْمَعْنَيْنِ صَحِيحٌ, both interpretations are correct and acceptable. Hikmah could be called the secrets of the legislation, and what is the intent, what is the wisdom behind Allah making the consumption of pig, swine, haram. Hikmah is knowing the purpose behind it. Or it could be the sunnah, that which we have gotten from the sunnah. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ لِعَيْذُكُمْ بِهِ, He admonishes you with that. أي بما أنزل عليكم, with that which He has sent down upon you. وَهَذَا مِمَّا يُقَوِّي أَنَّ الْمُرَادِ بِالْحِكْمَةِ أَسْرَارُ الشَّرِيعَةِ, this strengthens the position that what is intended by hikmah are the secrets of the legislation. لأن الموعظة ببيان الحكم والحكمة والترغيب أو الترهيب. Because admonishment occurs by explaining the wisdom and the rulings and ترغيب and ترهيب. You hear this often. ترغيب is encouragement, ترهيب is frightening. يعني encouraging you in good and scaring you or frightening you from evil. فالحكم به يزول الجهل. So with the wisdom, ignorance is removed. والحكمة مع الترغيب يوجب الرغبة. And wisdom along with encouragement will cause excitement. Someone will have the desire to do good now. والحكمة مع الترهيب يوجب الرهبة. And using admonishment or حكمة, mentioning the wisdom behind some prohibition, along with frightening the person, will cause him to become scared. He doesn't want to transgress against Allah's rights anymore. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ فِي جَمِيعِ أُمُورِكُمْ And have taqwa of Allah in all of your affairs. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ And know that Allah is knowing, is the all-knower of everything. فَلِهَذَا بَيَّنَ لَكُمْ هَذِهِ الْأَحْكَامِ بِغَايَةِ الْإِتْقَانِ وَالْإِحْكَامِ التي هي جارية مع المصالح في كل زمان ومكان فله الحمد والمنة. This is why he had explained to you these rulings in the most eloquent and concise manner. And that these rulings are ever consistent and compatible with the well-being of human beings in any time and any place. Yani this which Allah had explained is ever applicable from the time of revelation until the day of judgment. This is the best thing for the human being because Allah knows best what is suitable for His creation. So to Allah belongs all praise and the minna. And I believe we will end inshallah at this verse. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, if we all remain alive until next week, we will be dealing inshallah ta'ala with verse 232, right? So alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.